passenger plane with 72 people on board crashes on landing in Nepal. At least 68 people are confirmed dead. Thirteen Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank since the start of this year. Also on the headlines, the UK is bracing for further industrial action by workers from various sectors to demand higher wages amid a cost of living crisis. Thanks for joining us. 68 people are confirmed dead in Nepal after an aircraft goes down in the western Pokhara region. The army expects to find more bodies from the passenger plane that broke into pieces after crashing into a hillside. There were 72 people on board, including two infants and 10 foreign nationals. Local officials say that there are a number of survivors. However, the rescue operation had to be halted for the night and will resume tomorrow. The Nepalese Prime Minister has called an emergency cabinet meeting. Deadly plane incidents are common in Nepal, which is studded with eight of the world's highest mountains, including Everest. Such incidents have killed at least 309 people in the country in the past 22 years. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry condemns as a heinous execution the Israeli killing of a man in the occupied West Bank. The ministry says the Israeli leadership has made it easy for regime forces to kill any Palestinian without posing any danger to them. Earlier in the day, Israeli forces shot dead 45-year-old Ahmad Kahla near the village of Silwad, north of Ramallah. The Israeli army claimed that he was killed while attempting to grab a soldier's gun and resisting an inspection. Palestinian media, however, reported that soldiers forced Kahla out of his vehicle before shooting him at point-blank range. The man's son was also pepper-sprayed. Tensions have been simmering in the West Bank, with Israeli forces intensifying deadly raids across the occupied territories. At least 13 Palestinians have been killed since the beginning of the year. Last year's death toll of around 150 has been the highest since the year 2004. The Israeli President Isaac Herzog has expressed his deep concerns over the growing protests held against the policies of the newly elected right-wing cabinet.
We are in the grips of a profound disagreement that is tearing our nation apart. This conflict worries me deeply, as it worries many across Israel and the diaspora.
Herzog says he is currently focused on averting a, quote, historic constitutional crisis and stopping the continued rift within the nation. Tens of thousands of protesters hit the streets in Tel Aviv last night, chanting slogans against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The demonstration was the biggest since Netanyahu's cabinet took office in late December. Netanyahu returned to power as the head of a coalition with extreme right and ultra-Orthodox parties. The cabinet is planning to hand more powers to lawmakers in appointing judges and overriding the regime's Supreme Court decisions. It has also announced intentions to pursue settlement expansion in the occupied West Bank. Palestinian academic Mukhaber Abu Sada joined us a short while ago with his take on the recent anti-Netanyahu protest.
Well, it's what is happening in Israel, probably for the first time in its history since its establishment in the year of 1948, we see a very divided society, and this is the result of the latest Israeli elections, which took place in 2 months ago in early November of last year, 2022. And also as a result of the making of a new coalition government led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and extreme right-wing political parties and ultra-Jewish or religious parties in Israel who are making a coalition, which, according to many Israelis, especially political parties from the center and the left, who are basically claiming and saying that this Israeli coalition government is a threat to the so-called democratic character of Israel. Because of the proposed legislations by the current Israeli government to overhaul the judicial system of Israel,
The daughter of late Iranian Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani says the U.S. failed to achieve its goals from assassinating her father. Zainab Soleimani said the first defeat for the U.S. was the glorious funeral ceremonies held for the general in Iraq and in Iran. She said that Americans never imagined that Soleimani's name would stand out like a bright star after his assassination. Zainab Soleimani made the remarks during an interview with Press TV's Insight program. Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amri Abdullahian, has visited Syria. Coming from Lebanon, the top diplomat held meetings with top officials covering regional and international developments related to the Syrian crisis. Our correspondent, Muhammad Ali, has the details from Damascus.
Iranian foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian met Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. Assad said Syria is keen on maintaining continuous coordination with Iran, especially now amid rapid regional and international developments. He reiterated that Syria will not press ahead with talks with Turkey unless the goal was to end Turkish occupation in Syria and the support of terrorist organizations. Abdullahian said any serious dialogue between Syria and Turkey is a positive step for both countries and the region, expressing Iran's trust in Syria's stances and decisions. The top Iranian diplomat held separate talks with his Syrian counterpart, Faisal al-Maqdad, focusing on expanding economic and trade relations between both countries. In a joint press conference, Abdullahian touched upon Syrian-Iranian economic ties.
Our relations with Syria are at their best condition. We must exert our utmost efforts to boost economic ties to the level of our political ones. We agreed to prepare a long-term strategic cooperation document to be signed in the near future.
He indicated to Iran's role in preventing a planned Turkish military operation in northern Syria, welcoming diplomatic efforts for ending disputes between the two neighbors. Maqdad said the visit comes at a critical time amid challenges facing Syria.
The visit comes as we face challenges set by the U.S., the West, Israel, and their proxies. They don't want the Syrian people to heal. Our relations with Iran are strategic, and soon there will be steps taken that prove the depth of relations and both countries' belief in the necessity of enhancing them.
Maqdad said Syria will not forget the repeated Israeli aggressions, promising at the right time Syria will respond and inflict heavy losses on Israel in a way it will regret all its attacks. Amir Abdullahian's visit is part of a regional tour aimed at evaluating developments with Iran's allies. It's a reminder of the strong ties among member states of the Resistance Alliance, despite decades-long attempts to break them by their enemies. Muhammad Ali, Damascus.
Iran is seeing a sharp rise in its oil exports as the government ramps up initiatives to nullify U.S. sanctions. According to companies that track the flows, Iranian oil exports hit new highs in the last 2 months of 2022 and are also making a strong start to 2023. Companies say that the crude exports in December averaged over 1.1 million barrels per day. China is Iran's biggest customer. The former U.S. administration had sought to completely wipe out Iran's oil exports by withdrawing from the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA and reimposing sanctions against the country. The current U.S. administration also says that it is robustly enforcing these sanctions and has even imposed new bans. Iran also recently reported an almost 20% year-on-year increase in its non-oil exports. The U.K. is bracing for fresh nationwide strikes as workers from various sectors demand higher wages amid a cost-of-living crisis. The Royal College of Nursing Union has warned of more walkouts next month if talks with the government do not progress by the end of January. The union says that it will be more severe, involving twice as many workers. Meanwhile, teachers will hold a ballot on Monday over industrial actions. If their strikes are confirmed, it will add to the disruption experienced in the country over the last 6 months. Ambulance staff and rail workers are among those staging back-to-back walkouts, as pay rises have failed to keep pace with the double-digit inflation. Earlier this week, the UK government introduced an anti-strike bill to Parliament that requires some union members to work even during strikes. A drive-by shooting in London has left 6 people injured, including 2 children. Police say that a girl has been severely injured and taken to the hospital. Other victims bore minor wounds. Police officials have launched an investigation into the attack, which took place in the vicinity of a church where the victims were attending a funeral. Experts say that gun crimes are on the rise in Britain because of the cost of living crisis, cheap firearms, and drug dealings in the country. A recent report by Oxfam Charity shows the weapons used by the Saudi-led coalition in its war in Yemen were supplied solely by the U.S. and the U.K., at least those used since the start of 2021. The U.K. government has even admitted to the central role that its weapons are playing in the killing of Yemeni civilians.
The Oxfam report analyzed 1,727 attacks on Yemeni civilians since the start of 2021. The report finds that at least 839 civilians were killed and 1,775 others were wounded during this time. 87 of the deaths were caused by airstrikes alone. The aircrafts used in the attacks, over half of them British-made, used cluster bombs, the use of which is banned by international law. The rest of the killings were done through artillery strikes, missile barrages, drone attacks, landmines, road bombs, and the use of light arms. According to another report by an American think tank, The American Thinker, Saudi Arabia spends some $200 million per day on the war to hire mercenaries and maintain the arms supply. A large portion of this money goes to the UK for purchasing Typhoon and Tornado aircrafts, Paveway bombs, and Brimstone and Storm Shadow missiles, making the UK fully complicit in the crimes committed against Yemeni civilians. As stated by the International Development Committee of the UK, given that the UK has a long history of defense exports to Saudi Arabia and its coalition partners, and considering the evidence we have heard, it seems inevitable that any violations of international humanitarian and human rights law by the coalition have involved arms supplied from the UK. These arms have also been used by the Saudi-led coalition to bomb health facilities on 19 separate instances, which constitutes war crimes. Oxfam's policy advisor Martin Butcher called on the UK government to immediately cease its arms sales to the Saudis. He also pointed out the hypocrisy of UK sanctions against Russia over alleged war crimes in Ukraine, all the while turning a blind eye to the blatant war crimes of the Saudi coalition in Yemen. Not only that, but he also pointed out to the fact that the UK government still continues to sell arms to Saudi Arabia, being its second biggest arms supplier, which will be inevitably used in the war against Yemen. Butcher also said they, the government, have really been not only arming Saudi Arabia, but also very reluctant to use their position in the Security Council to push for peace.
The UK, however, is not the only Western country to be blamed for bloodshed in Yemen. While a sizable portion of the arms that Saudi Arabia has obtained do come from the UK, the rest it has received from the US.
Saudi Arabia is the biggest importer of arms in the world, second only to a country with 40 times the population. In the year 2020 alone, the kingdom imported nearly $1 billion worth of arms, the majority of which came from the U.S. This, however, does not stop the U.S. from parroting a tired narrative of pushing for peace in Yemen when they even hesitate to call it a war. This is apparent by Biden's initial pledges to end the war during his presidential campaign while still supplying arms to the kingdom to this day. Here's Timothy Lender King, U.S. Special Envoy to Yemen.
Let me begin first by reiterating our commitment, the commitment of the United States, to helping improve Yemeni lives, creating the space for Yemenis to collectively determine their own future, and to advance a durable resolution that ends the conflict in Yemen.
All the while, the weapon fragments bearing U.S. and U.K. branding paints a starkly different picture. The 6 months UN-sponsored truce that was supposed to be the grounds for longer-standing solutions was also very quickly and repeatedly violated by Saudi Arabia. This is what Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement sees as the reason for the temporary truce. The Saudi-led coalition's main goal out of the truce was to stop the Houthi Ansarullah forces from carrying out retaliatory military operations against targets deep inside Saudi Arabia. Moreover, the crippling sea, land, and air blockade on Yemen has created a humanitarian disaster in the country. With all options exhausted, the Ansarullah movement has now said that it will inevitably launch missile strikes deep inside Saudi and UAE territories. This comes amid reports that the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is looking to find a way out of the incredibly costly Yemen war. The Lebanese Al-Akhbar newspaper wrote, Riyadh is now showing a lot of flexibility during negotiations. It currently has no concern other than getting security guarantees that strategic facilities deep inside the country would not be hit. It has abandoned the illusion of turning Yemen into a country under its tutelage and has instead sufficed for security assurances. However, this report needs more confirmation. While the Saudi coalition has indeed failed in its attempts to strangle Yemen into submission, their aggression still caused what the UN describes as the world's worst humanitarian crisis in Yemen.
U.S. President Joe Biden has declared a major disaster in the state of California as devastating storms there bring heavy flooding. Biden ordered federal aid to supplement local recovery efforts. The declaration makes federal funding available for relief to affected people, including temporary housing and repairs. Nearly 26 million Californians remain under flood watch and tens of thousands under evacuation orders and advisories. Weather forecasters say that the unsettled weather in western U.S. is not done yet. In the last 3 weeks, at least 19 people are known to have died from storm-related causes. And that is it for this edition of World News. This bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
radio. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 15th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Harold Suss from Austria, from Juan Francisco Rivas Matias from Spain, and from Frank Thies from the Netherlands. So Harold Suss, Juan Francisco, and Frank Thies, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. From India, we've received an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. From Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. And Lu Dacheng, one of our old and regular listeners from China, has sent us an email. From Spain, we've received an email from Juan Francisco Rivas Matias. And the last but not the least is an email from Klaus Hober from Germany. Stay with us, please. First of all, let's go to India and see what Jayanta Chakrabarty tells. Dear producer and all my friends at IRIB English Radio, today, Friday 13th of January, is the blessed day of the birth anniversary of Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. On this happy and auspicious occasion, I send my heartiest felicitations to the great Muslim Ummah and its noteworthy mothers and women. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for this message, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Thank you for this congratulation message on the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, Prophet of Islam, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you said, this blessed birthday happened to be on Friday, January 13th, which is marked as Mother's Day and Women's Week in the Islamic Republic of Iran. So congratulations to all women and mothers around the world on this auspicious occasion. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you again. And thank you for this congratulation message on the blessed birth anniversary of Hazrat Fatima, peace upon her. Anyway, we wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And please accept our EQSL as verification. And from Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. So let's see what Omar Lassas says. In the name of Allah, the most gracious and the most merciful. Dear friends in the English section of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Assalamu alaikum. I hope you are doing well. First of all, I would like to send you and all the listeners my heartiest congratulations and my sincerest wishes on the occasion of the new year 2023. I wish a very happy and wonderful new year to all listeners of the English service of IRIB Radio. I would also like to take this happy opportunity to thank you for all your efforts throughout this year for the daily broadcast of your programs. I appreciate all these efforts that allowed us to continue listening to our favorite radio station. Best wishes from Algeria. First of all, salam to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Warm greetings to you, Omar Lassas from Algeria. And warm gratitude to you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much indeed for this great email Omar Lassos from Algeria, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Omar Lassos from Algeria. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So here we just heard a piece of traditional Iranian music, which I really enjoyed it. And we go to China, where here we've received an email from Lu Dacheng, one of our old and regular listeners from China. Lu Dacheng says, "Dear English section of IRIB English Radio, hello, I am Lu Dacheng from China. I am a translator of English and Spanish. I am also a radio listener. I like listening to the international radio stations very much. I like collecting verification cards. I like the design of QSL cards issued by IRIB. If you can, please send me one EQSL card of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Many thanks. I like the QSL cards of Iranian monuments and sightseeing very much. I want to visit the Islamic Republic of Iran in the future. I want to enclose some views of snow photos of China in winter. Please check them. Salam and warm greetings to you from the snowy Tehran. And thank you very much for sending this email to us, Lu Dacheng from China. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Since sending any material, including paper QSL, on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our listeners is not possible. So at the time being, we just send you electronic QSL as verification. So please accept it from us. It's good to hear that you like Iran and its nature and historical monuments. We wish you visit Iran very soon and enjoy its attractions. Lu Dacheng from China. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So here we've received an email from Spain. Yes, from Juan Francisco Rivas Matias. Let's see what Juan tells us. Dear staff, I hope you find my reception report useful, and if the details are correct, I would appreciate it if you verify it with one of your QSL cards. If possible, I would like to receive some sticker from your station. Sincerely, Juan Francisco Rivas Matias. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to Juan Francisco Rivas Matias from Spain. Yes, the reception reports are always helpful. Thank you for them, because they enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. Thank you for that. And Juan, please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Thank you again, Juan Francisco Rivas Matias from Spain. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. And Klaus Huber from Germany, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Klaus says, "Dear team of IRIB, today I had the luck to receive a transmission of one of your medium wave stations, and I ask you kindly to confirm this reception. If it's possible, because I am collecting stations on medium wave from around the world, and it's been the first time I got IRIB radio. I am 61 years old and working as priest near the German-Austrian border. I listened to the German service of IRIB for the first time in 1976. It's a pity that you don't broadcast in German anymore. I will be very happy if you confirm my report. All the best from Germany. Salam and warm greetings to you from the snowy Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to Klaus Huber from Germany. Please accept our appreciations to you for this email, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification. It's good to hear that you were able to receive our signals near the German-Austrian border. It's really wonderful. So we wish you all the best. We wish you luck. Please keep in touch with us, IRIB English Radio, and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Klaus Huber from Germany, one of our old and regular listeners. Thank you very much for your email. And as I always say, art is long, but life is short, and we have to say goodbye. But before ending this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Harald Seuss from Austria, Juan Francisco Rivas, Matthias from Spain, Frank Thies from the Netherlands, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, Omar Lassas from Algeria, Lu Dasheng from China, and Klaus Huber from Germany. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us with IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When we look at one of the responsibilities that we have as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is to ensure that the work that we put in this world our perception of ourselves, our perception of our accomplishments in this world are actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Right? This makes complete sense if you think about it, right? There are many times when we do something and we feel good about having accomplished something, whether it be giving charity, whether it be praying our salah, for example, or any other task that we do, there is an immediate goal or an immediate benefit that we seek in that particular action. But as believers, we recognize that we don't work for ourselves, right? We work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the owner of us, it's important that we check time to time and actually focus a lot of our attention to ensure that whatever it is that we are doing is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects to be done. This is something that we've talked about quite often, in that we tend to look at things from our lens, when in reality we should try to look at it from the lens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That I did something, but is this what my Lord wanted in this particular situation? I fulfilled an act. Is this something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wanted me to do at that time? If you think about it from a worldly perspective, this is exactly what we do with each other, right? If, for example, I am assigned an assignment from school, for example, I can't just write the paper the way I want to have it written. I have to follow the guidelines that the teacher provides for me, right? I did this one time, you know, it was a psychology class, and the teacher was annoying me. I'd already graduated. I just had one more credit left to finish. So I was like, you know what? The teacher assigned an assignment, and I did it the way I wanted to do it. And I just wrote something. And you know what happened? I didn't get a good grade on that paper, right? It was a solid paper, right? It was exactly what I wanted to convey, but I didn't follow the protocols of that particular assignment, right? If I am hired to paint a fence, for example, the owner will give me the instructions of how they want that fence painted, how many coats they want, what color they want, what kind of paint they want. I can't just pick all of these things randomly and do it and say, well, I did it. Then why do we feel that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we can do it however we want to do it, hoping that He will end up accepting it? It doesn't make any logical sense if you think about it, right? And so we have to constantly check and investigate whether or not we are meeting the criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for His servants. Where do we find these criteria? Well, the Quran is filled with them, right? The hadith are filled with them. For example, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I want you to be a muttaqi. And then He just doesn't say, now figure out how to be a muttaqi. When we read the Quran, we will find many descriptions of what it means to be a muttaqi, a God-conscious human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He wants us to become believers, mu'mineen. And then He describes for us in the Quran what it means to be a mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a group of people called the ulul albab, those who possess intellect. And then He describes for us what it means to possess intellect. And so our responsibility is that our Lord has given us these criteria of what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a God-conscious human being, what it means to be a person who possesses intellect from His lens, right? Because in this world, I could get straight A's, I could have degrees, and I could be considered by people as a person of intellect. But when I don't fulfill the criteria that God has set out, He looks at me as a jahil. He looks at me as an ignorant person, right? Not an intellectual. And so I need to ensure that in my life I am having the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to have. One set of verses describes a particular category of people, and that's what we're going to be discussing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan talks about the qualities of the Ibadur Rahman, yeah, the servants of the Most Merciful. We are all by de facto the servants of God because we are His creation. However, to be considered by Him as our official servants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us characteristics. And this is what we're going to discuss. It's important for us to learn what our Lord expects from us. It is also important to check whether or not we have these characteristics, but not only whether we think we have these characteristics, but do we have them the way He wants us to have them? That's something else altogether. And of course, to learn how to better ourselves when it comes to these characteristics. So as it said in the PowerPoint, this comes in Suratul Furqan, the 25th surah of the Holy Quran. And it's from verses 63 to 76, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this. So naturally, it's 13, 14 verses. There are quite a few characteristics. It will take us a little bit of time. But at the same time, I think it should pique our interest, because these are very beautiful qualities that God describes and how we can try to attain them. The verses that we will discuss in detail, as we said, start from verse 63. But when we start from verse 60, right? In verse 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself first and foremost as Ar-Rahman. Now, of course, He mentions this all the time. The quality of Him being Rahman is described from the very beginning when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But in this verse in particular, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ. Yeah? If we read the whole verse, this is one of the mustahab sajda verses in the Quran, right? And so when you get home, do a sajda. This is what one of the qualities of why Imam al-Sajjad is known as Sayyid al-Sajideen, we are told, right? Because whenever he would read even a mustahab sajda, he would do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ. And when it is said to them, do sajda, prostrate for the Rahman, or to the Rahman, to the most merciful, to the most beneficent, to the most generous, they reply back saying, what? قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ. And what is this most merciful? What is this Rahman? Yeah. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He's not referring to a specific group of people that this question was applied to. Rather, He's talking to anyone whose heart has become blinded because of distractions. Right? When we lose focus of our ultimate goal, when we lose focus of why we are put in this world to be subservient to God, and then when you tell that person that, hey, be subservient to God, they'll be like, why? Right? I'm a good person, right? This is what we hear often. I'm a good person, right? I do what's expected. But the question is not about me being a good person or doing what's expected. Do I do it the way Ar-Rahman wants it to be done? This is so crucial for us. So crucial for us, right? And so in this verse, it is not, I think it can be addressing us as well, right? But it is a verse that was addressed to the mushrikeen. The mushrikeen would reply back in a joking manner, in a mocking manner. Like, what is this Rahman you are talking about? What is this? We've not seen it. We've not heard of it. And so they replied back in this joking manner as if to make light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Ar-Rahman is introduced in verse number 60. Remember, we're talking about being Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the Most Merciful.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matim.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Oxfam figures show that hundreds of Saudi-led attacks on civilians were carried out over a recent period using weapons supplied by the US and the UK. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote in this regard, the UK has been helping to fuel a renewed pattern of violence against civilians in Yemen through its arms sales to the Saudi-led US-backed coalition. A new report has warned. In the report titled Fueling Violence, Oxfam said they had counted more than 1,700 attacks on civilians in Yemen between January 2021 and the end of February 2022, a quarter of which were by the coalition solely using weapons supplied by the US and the UK. During the period reference, Oxfam found that the coalition was responsible for 87 civilian deaths and 136 injuries, as well as 19 attacks on hospitals, clinics, and ambulances, and 293 attacks that forced people to flee their homes. Martin Butcher, Oxfam's policy advisor on arms and conflict and author of the report, said in a statement, "The sheer number of attacks on civilians is a stark testament to the terrible tragedy of the people of Yemen have suffered. Our analysis shows there is a pattern of violence against civilians, and all sides in this conflict have not done enough to protect civilian life, which they are obligated to do under international humanitarian law." Yemen descended into the war in 2014. Middle East Eye contacted the Saudi embassy in London but did not receive a response by the time of publication. The British Department of International Trade told MEE that the UK took its export control responsibilities seriously and operates one of the most robust and transparent export control regimes in the world. A spokesperson for the department said, "We consider all our export applications thoroughly through a strict risk assessment framework and keep all licenses under careful and continual review as standard." The UK regime has come in for repeated criticism over its decision to continue selling arms to Saudi Arabia, despite the concerns raised over human rights abuses. The Campaign Against the Arms Trade, CAAT, is set to challenge the government's ability to sell arms to the kingdom in the High Court later this month. A previous court challenge in 2019 forced the UK regime to suspend arms sales, but after an internal review, sales resumed in 2021. The country has licensed at least £7.9 billion in arms to Saudi Arabia across 547 licenses since 2015. However, according to CAAT, the true value of arms sales could be more than £23 billion, around $28 billion, when additional open licenses are taken into account. Oxfam's policy advisor on arms and conflict and author of the report, Martin Butcher, said the intensity of these attacks would not have been possible without a ready supply of arms. That is why it's vital the UK government and others must immediately stop the arms sales that are fueling the war in Yemen, Butcher added. According to UNICEF, more than 11,000 children have been killed or maimed as a result of the war in Yemen.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Men and women as human beings are completely equal in Islam. This is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, meeting with hundreds of prominent Iranian women in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on January 4th, 2023. Up until this moment, this meeting has been exclusively devoted to women and has been overflowing with outstanding, excellent ideas. The talks given by the women here were very good, and I personally truly benefited from them. Some recommendations were made. God willing, a solution will be found for these matters. They need to be discussed there or in other places, especially the issue of employing our intelligent, skilled, experienced, knowledgeable, scholarly, wise, perceptive women in different places in the country where decisions are made. This is an important matter. Of course, This issue has occupied my mind too. We need to find a solution for this. God willing, we shall find a way. We will see what can be done. Well, you heard many good things from these women today. Before I forget, I would also like to admire this song that the children sang today. It was truly praiseworthy. Both the song and the music were very good, and it was performed very well. I would like to thank all those involved in it. I would like to address a few points about the issue of women today. They are some important points in my opinion. I may have mentioned them before, or perhaps you may have spoken about them, but it is still good to emphasize them. I have talked about this here before, to the scholarly women of Iran, and also to those who listen to these talks.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
On the issue of women, our stance toward hypocritical Western claimants is a position of demand, not defense. There was a time many years ago when a number of students in a university asked me, "What do you have to say for yourself in defense of such and such case?" I told them, "I don't have a defense. I have the right to be on the offensive." It is the same with regard to the issue of women. The world is to blame. When I say the world, I am referring to the Western world, Western philosophy, and the existing Western culture. Of course, what I'm talking about is the modernized West. I am not concerned with the historical West. That is a different matter. The modernized West is the one that has been expressing its opinion on all aspects of life for the last 200 years. We demand answers from them. They are guilty with regard to the issue of women. They are to blame. They have truly done harm. They have committed crimes. Therefore, the things I am saying are not in defense. We are expressing the Islamic viewpoint and beliefs. This is the Islamic stance. Up until this moment, this meeting has been exclusively devoted to women and has been overflowing with outstanding, excellent ideas. The talks given by the women here were very good, and I personally truly benefited from them.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.